We're joined now by Dr. Kate Galloway, Associate Professor at Griffith Law School, to help us unpack this complex judgment. Good morning.
Good morning, Marlene.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Can this decision be interpreted as a close step towards constitutional recognition of First Nations people, or will we still have to wait for political process to really achieve this?
Interesting question. And I think that what we've seen in some of the commentary, including in amongst people who would support the outcome of the majority in this case, is that that's probably an overstatement. And in some of the thinking that I've been doing around this and with colleagues, we really see the case highlighting the need for regularising what we call regularising that legal relations or establishing proper legal relations between the Australian state and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Because to the extent that we don't have those proper legal relations, these kinds of questions will keep arising. So the flip side of that is that for those who oppose this kind of constitutional recognition and movement, such as the Voice to Parliament and Uluru Statement from the Heart, it's seen as somewhat of a radical or sort of reactionary step that for some reason sort of threatens the sovereignty of the Australian state. And that too, of course, I think is a well and truly an overstatement.
Yeah, right. And with this case, I think, I mean, when I first heard about it with no legal background or understanding, I thought it was quite remarkable. When I found out that there was this risk of deportation, I just literally looked at it and thought, they can do that? How can they do that?
And this is really why it's caused, I think, so much public interest, because it defies our common sense common sense is a loaded word, I know, but it defies our common sense understanding of what it means to be an Aboriginal person, which is someone who is from this place originally, right? That's the literal sort of etymology of the word, or an alien, which literally means someone from somewhere else. And in fact, the way that that the majority decision was handed down, this sort of came into play because one of the men, Brendan Toms, was a registered native title holder. And as a registered native title holder, an even more confounding sort of set of facts. But as a registered native title holder, he and his people have already been through this grueling process of proving that they are the traditional owners of that country. Now, Daniel Love is not a registered native title holder. There was a little bit of there wasn't unanimity amongst the four in the majority about the consequences of this. And so then in the narrowest of the majority judgments, the judge said, the question of whether Mr. Love is an Aboriginal person is a question of fact, and that needs to be sent back to the federal court to sort of determine that. So everyone agreed with the principle that an Aboriginal person can't be an alien, but how that applied to each of the men was a question of fact. And so while Mr. Love certainly is not in detention and so far there's no suggestion that the government will try to deport him, it's a little unclear what will happen next in that regard.
It's quite confusing listening to this to understand that someone who is recognised as a native title landholder, and I understand that Mr. Love also is accepted by elders as belonging to the groups that he identifies with. It's quite extraordinary that they have to go through this process of proving
their aboriginality. Yeah, exactly. And so there is a recognised sort of legal test, if you like, for Aboriginality that's referred to as the tripartite test, right? So you're descended from the people, you're recognised as part of the community, and you identify as part of that community. So those, And that's, you know, that was confirmed in the Mabo decision. That's been a widely recognised tenet of the law, and it's been it's applied regularly. It gets a bit complex and seems a little outrageous, I think, to sort of demand that Aboriginal people have to keep proving who they are, you know. Yeah. And that's sort of the system that we're in at the moment. And one of the challenges recognised in the minority judgment, so the three judges who didn't agree with this outcome, and one of the themes that came through in their judgments was, we can't have a situation where you have the elders determining that people are members of the relevant group, because that is the thing that they felt came, I think one of them used the words, very close to sort of recognising sovereignty in these Indigenous groups. And the implication of that is that you're kind of taking it away from the Australian state. So they interpreted this as this sort of lawmaking that was occurring, or finding people as part of the group as separate from the functions of the state. I would very respectfully disagree with that. I think that we've got very clear and long-standing mechanisms for determining these things, not just in relation to this question of alienage and its implications for citizenship, but in native title. I mean, that's how we determine who has rights to land in this country. And that's how we determine rights to access all sorts of government services. That tripartite test is put into play. Mm. And so I think to suggest that now in this context we're somehow eroding the valid powers of the state, that's just not going to happen. That's really an overstatement. We're in a colonial situation here. The state obviously has power. The courts acknowledge, including in this case, that they're never going to challenge the authority of the state.
Yes.
And so any of these kinds of laws and the way that they operate is simply business as usual. It's already happening.
Mm. And just before we go, because we are running out of time, the Attorney General, Christian Porter, has stated that the government may legislate so that it can deport non-citizen, non-aliens. Can we expect to see Parliament legislate in a way that contradicts this very decision?
Based on what I would describe as a somewhat, I don't want to use the word hysterical, but perhaps overcooked reaction, I think that's entirely possible.
Oh,
and we've seen this. We've seen this before, right? So after the Mabo decision, media went feral. Mm. The Minerals Council took out full-page ads in all of the national newspapers, telling people that Aboriginal people are going to steal their backyards. We had, arguments in Parliament. We had, and then after the WIC decision, we saw the Howard government significantly water down native title laws. We had the then Deputy Prime Minister call for a capital C Conservatives to be appointed to the High Court, and we've seen that again now. So what we see is this very strong reaction to these kinds of decisions that really manifest this ongoing strong desire to continue to squash any sort of expression of self-determination or rights vesting in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples themselves.